Psalms 119, longest chapter in the Bible, and I just want to show you something tonight and spend a little bit of time on something tonight that I got a hold of last I read through this. I want you to find verse 49, please. You'll notice that Psalms 119 is broken down into eight verse sections. Every section has eight verses. They are broken up by the Hebrew alphabet, 22 Hebrew letters. The one where we're at right now would be Zion. And each of these letters actually carry a significance as far as meaning. This one seems to carry the significance of a weapon. When we're done, we're going to understand, you know what your weapon is? And the Bible gives us in Ephesians the armor of God. There's only one weapon that God gives us. He said the sword of the Spirit. That book is your weapon. That book is our defense. And it's what we fight our battles with. When Jesus was taken, or when he went up to the up the mount with Satan out in the wilderness and the temptation, it was the word of God that Satan did his best. He would say it is written, and yet the Lord said, yeah, but it is written. And he countered with the word of God and countered Satan. I can't tell you how important it is for every child of God to know their Bible and know it well. And matter of fact, I was thinking after I went home today, once again, what was preached was not what I planned to preach. And circumstances happen in life, just like circumstances happen today. And when circumstances happen, you're going to draw not from what you're reading, you're going to draw from what you know. Now, I'm not saying God can't give you something, but how many have been in a distraught situation in your life you couldn't even concentrate enough to read? No, what you do is you pack it away. When you pack it away, and I thanked God for that, I thought, you know what? It was a blessing, the Lord, and I think he led in it. That's not something for a pastor. That's something for every Christian. You need to familiarize yourself with the Word of God sufficiently and enough. And as a matter of fact, in this life, there is no sufficiently and there is no enough. You just need to continually learn the Word of God. And as you do, when the circumstances of life come, you'll find the Spirit of God saying, that's just like this, and that's just like this. And he'll begin to throw those elements into you, and you'll find strength, and you'll find grace, and you'll find joy. It's far, far beyond the book, you know, Precious Promises. If you're fearful, read these verses. If you're happy, read these verses. That's not it. It's filling yourself, saturating yourself with the Word of God. So when the trials and the difficulties come, that's just like this. I just read that. And you'll find the Spirit of God leading you in your memory, leading you in what you filled up in this file cabinet, if you would. And when that happens, you know what you do? You get excited. Because you'll say, wow, he's really in there. For some Christians, I hate to say, but some Christians, the last time they ever sensed the Spirit of God was the day they called on Jesus Christ to save them. And that's why they go back to that time to prove that they're saved. Thank God he spoke to me today. Amen. That's what you need. That's what we all need. Amen. In Psalms 119, verse 49, remember the word that word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Father, I pray that you bless this evening. Lord, there's some in this room, and there's many outside this room that need your comfort tonight. And I pray for that. Lord, there may be circumstances going on in people's lives right now that we don't even know about, but I know this. Whatever the turmoil is, I know what the solution is. It's your word. It is our weapon. It's our strength. It's what we do battle with. And so often, Satan tries to draw us away from it. Lord, the dynamic duo, your word and prayer. And Lord, if we're not battling with one, we're battling with the other. If that be the case, help us to realize how important, how valuable, how necessary these things are in our life. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Challenge us. May we go out with direction. May we go out with purpose. May we go out with determination, I pray tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you for a little bit. I just want to go through this this section of Psalms 119 and show you some things that I got out of it as I was reading it. I don't know how you read, but I'm doing my best. You realize how many words that you have read over in the Bible? You didn't even know what the word was. You realize that? And you just read by it because you read the word. And yet there's no understanding. And yet Proverbs says, with all thy getting, get understanding. What I'm saying is sometimes if we're going to read properly, we got to slow down a little bit. When we run across something we don't understand, we need to look it up somewhere. God gave us a dictionary, amen? Matter of fact, you've got them on your phones now, you've got them on your pads and your computer. You might even have, this thing has pages in it and covers. They called it a dictionary a long time ago, set on a bookshelf. You actually open it up, has words in it, amen? You might have one of those, but we ought to be reading the Bible for understanding. And if we don't, we ought to back up. I had someone ask me here not long ago, so what do you do when you read and you've read so far and you just don't remember what you read? I said, I back up the last thing I remember. And now you might feel like, well, I'm losing ground. No, you're not losing ground. You lost ground when you read it and you didn't understand it. That's where you lost the ground. Backing up to understand it is not losing ground. You might feel like that you're looping around the neighborhood again. Okay, well, go ahead and do it because you haven't really seen the neighborhood. You haven't really made the loop until you understand what you read. Well, I read this some little while back, and I came across some stuff that I thought was interesting. There's not a whole lot of introduction to this. All I can tell you is I understand now why that weapon seems to be the theme of this. The first thing I'd ask to look at is look in verse 49. Look what he says. He says, remember the word unto thy servant. That's all you got to go. That's as far as we need to go on that. Remember the word unto, or thy word unto thy servant. He says, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The psalmist spoke of the word unto him. Don't miss it. Small little words that mean something. When I look at that, he didn't say, remember the word unto thy servants. He said, remember the word unto thy servant. The word that for is for me and it's for you. The word of God is for both of us. It's for all of us. I've said this before. All scripture may not be dropped unto me, but all scripture is for me. And all scripture is for you also. And so when I see this phrase, okay, remember the word unto thy servant, I find that there's actually two applications to it. First of all, I would suggest a divisional application. I don't find hope in a lamb. I don't find hope in a bullock. And I don't find hope in a turtle dove. I find no hope or comfort in the Mosaic covenant. The Davidic covenant has nothing for me. But I find much in Scripture that is for me, and it's unto me. It's the with the words that the Lord has specifically given me that I find grounding. It's the words that he specifically has given to this day and to us that I find a foundation solid to stand upon. The word unto me. I take comfort in the word that's unto me. And so I come across words sometimes in the Bible, and they trouble some, but they don't trouble me. All right, you say, what do you mean? Well, like that one over there, and the guy says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he know what the law is, he keep the law. I don't take comfort in that, but then again, that wasn't to me, amen. I don't take comfort in remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You say, why? Because there's not a Gentile in this room that's kept the Sabbath day. You might have washed your car or changed your oil, or you might have done landscaping yesterday. The fact is, you're not an Old Testament Jew, and God's clear. He said, I gave them, the Jews, my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them. All right, now I might find some application there, but that's not to me. I don't worry about that. You know, if you don't have an understanding of right division, there's verses in there that trouble the life out of you. Amen. And the word to me is a hope and it's a comfort. And that those words that are given to me. So I find a divisional application to this. Remember the word unto thy servant. But I'll give you the one that excites me the most. There's also the word that was given to me. Given to me. Let me explain. The previous thought that I just gave you, it's a word for a people. It's a word for the Gentiles, a word for the Jews, or a word for the church. But this word This word I'm talking about now is a word to a person. It's the word that came unto me. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but I got to tell you something. That's the riches of the scripture. When God takes your circumstance and your situation, and he has a passage or he has a verse, I got to tell you something. This word transcends the divisionals. You say, what do you mean? Well, I found places in the Old Testament doctrinally had nothing to do with me, but application-wise, like God said, here, take that one right there. And his word was to me, and his word was a comfort to me. As a matter of fact, it's what changed my life. As a child of God, it changed my life at 20 years old when the word of the Lord came unto me. And I'm afraid multitudes of Christians today, I would even venture to say majority, although I've been criticized for that, I would venture to say the majority of Christians sitting in churches today have no understanding of the word of the Lord coming to them. Well, I'll take it, if you're a born-again Christian, you at least know one. The day you got saved, the word of the Lord came to you personally. Amen. But besides that, so often there's nothing, and I want him to speak to me, and I want him to talk to me. Told my wife this afternoon, I left and came over to the office, and I said, maybe if we can get back in time, I said, maybe we can go out on the deck and we can have a coffee. I'm really kind of looking forward to that. I might trim the message down just a little bit. But she said, well, it might be too late for coffee. And I was picking up some stuff, and I know she wants to sit down on the deck like I want to sit on the deck, but we just don't want to sit on the deck, drink the coffee, and stay awake counting, you know, the sheep trying to go to sleep. But I stopped at the grocery store to pick some stuff up this afternoon, and I walked by, and I'd gotten there before. Now, if I say pom-pom, you're going to think cheerleader or something like that, okay? But there's this stuff called pom. It's pomegranate juice. I bought it a long time ago simply because the Bible speaks of pomegranates favorably. And I thought, well, if they'll juice them for me, I'll try to drink it. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I got it because they say, well, sister, I'm not. It's not sweet enough for me. Maybe put some sugar in it might be better. I don't know. And, you know, actually, they say it's a very great, strong antioxidant. And so I'm thinking that as strong of antioxidant is, if I put sugar in it, it'll balance out and they neither will hurt each other, right? Is that the way it works, right? But she told me, she said, well, it's be too late for coffee. I said, we'll have some pom-pom together. And so we'll go home and we'll mingle our pom-pom with some water, mix it up and put some ice in there. And we'll sit out on the deck. And you say, why? Because it's been a very busy day and we haven't had time to talk and I miss that. I miss hearing her talk and I miss talking to her. And is that not what our walk with Christ is about? Yeah. It's the word unto me. All the joy I've got to take my concerns and my sorrows and my heartaches to Christ and knowing that he bids me come boldly to the throne of grace. But that's me talking to him. How I long to have him speak to me. How I long to have him point out. Whether it be a reproof or a rebuke or an exhortation makes no difference. As long as the Holy One will speak to me. Thy word, remember the word unto thy servant. Genesis 15:1, the word of the Lord that came unto Abraham in a vision saying, fear not Abraham, or Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know what that word was? That was a word unto Abram. He needed it. It wasn't for anybody else. It was for Abram. Have you ever had a word like that come to you? It was just for you. I think my wife saw, on your daughter's Facebook page, and she had pinned down or she had put down some scripture from Psalm 61:1-2. 61:1-2 is when I read years ago when Jacob was born, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And when she told me that, you know, I thought 25 years ago, God gave me that word. Ah, but 25 years later, he gave Jamie that word. Isn't that an amazing thing? Oh, the word is the same. Your Bible is the same as my Bible. The words of your Bible are the same as my Bible. But I have to tell you something. The Spirit of God takes them and ministers to them the circumstances and the situations. And although they be the same one that I got 25 years ago, oh, what it meant to me, it didn't mean to her. What it meant to her, it didn't mean to me, but it was both to us. The psalmist is writing and he says, talking about a weapon. What's a weapon? A weapon is your word. Remember the word unto thy servant. The The psalmist speaks of a personalized word, not the word unto thy servants, but the word unto thy servant. There's no greater comfort, no greater hope, no greater assurance than when you actually receive a word from the Lord. Take your Bibles real fast. I'm going to do it. Go over to 2 Kings 19, would you? 2 Kings chapter 19. In 2 Kings chapter 19, Hezekiah is king and Sennacherib is threatening Judah and threatening to come in and take over Judah. And he's talking about things like this. He said things, his servant did. The servant of Sennacherib said this. He said, "What gods of the land have stopped him, stopped my master from taking over their land?" He said, what God has been powerful? Your God won't be. And he begins to name these things off, what he's done and what they've done and who they've taken over. Look what he says in chapter 19. Look in verse 17, what Hezekiah says. He says, "Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them." Of a truth, Lord, there's some things that he's saying, and it's true. But I want you to look after Hezekiah prays this prayer, because he does. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. So he's calling out before the Lord, and he's in a mess, and he says, "I can't deny these things. These things are real, and these things are true, and these things are accurate." But in 2 Kings 19, I want you to look what it says in verse 20. "Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed unto me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria." Read those next three words. "I have heard." You know what? My guess is the whole statement from the Lord was wonderful and comforting to Hezekiah. But I got to tell you, those last three words, "I have heard." I've heard your prayer. I've heard your need. You've called out. You know what that was? That little message. Isaiah, go back and tell him. He said, "I've heard him." That was a word to Hezekiah. Let me tell you something. I don't know how Christians live without getting a word from God. I'm not talking about, as a matter of fact, there's a real, in the Bible-believing camp, we can have a tendency to have an idea that if we know the word, that's as far as it goes. But you can know the word, and you can know the doctrine, and you can know the teaching, and never have one come to you personally. Amen. Remember, he said, remember, go back over to Psalms 119, and he said, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort." Not only did I notice the personal word, but I noticed it was a word of hope and comfort. Latter part of verse 49 and 50. He said, "Upon which thou hast caused me to hope, this is my comfort in my affliction." We can't really stop with the comfort. We've got to finish in my affliction. Question, what afflicts you tonight? What's the trouble going on? What's the turmoil in your life? See, it's one thing to have comfort if nothing's going on. But when the turmoil's going on, it's one thing to have comfort when the turmoil's over. But this was neither. He said, "In my affliction, this is my comfort. This is my hope in it. The word that you gave to me, that's my comfort." And you know, you say, "Well, preacher, we know all of this." Stop. That's the problem. The problem is we've heard it and we've heard it and we've heard it and we know it and we've digested it and we've rolled around our heads. But how many would agree, when we get out there, it's so easy and so quickly that we forget. Soul, why are you troubled? The psalmist said. When my soul is troubled, I am learning, and I'm learning, and I've been learning. You know what I need? I need my waters calmed. If I'm going to have my waters calm, I need something from God. If I can just get something from God, it may not change the circumstances, it may not change the situation, but if you would just speak to me. Oh, it was Mary. Mary, at one of the worst times of the disciples' lives, It had been 3 days. 3 days after they crucified the one they dedicated and poured 3.5 years of their life into following. The one they believed. We hoped he was the Messiah. We hoped he was the promised one. And assuming that they had taken his body away and taken it somewhere else, she supposing that Jesus was a gardener, she said, "Oh, please tell me where he's at so I can take his body." And all with one word, he come, that dear lady, Martha, Rabboni. One word from the Master. One word from the Master. Oh, the power of the Word of God. Where the Word of the King is, there is power. Where the Word of our King is, there is comfort. Listen, you just don't need to solve that problem. Preacher, I've got to solve the problem. Maybe you do. You don't need to fix that issue. Preacher, I've got to fix the issue. Maybe you do. But above all those things, you know what you need the comfort from the One. You need a word from your Master. It's going to be okay. I was on the ship. Paul's on the ship. And everybody running on the ship is scared to death. We're going to die. They're throwing things over the ship. And he stops and says, you know what he's doing? He's unpacking a lunch. That's remarkable. Far more remarkable to me now after about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we went on a vacation and we all went out deep sea fishing. And Preston was with us and the whole family, Preston, my sons, Jake, myself. It was a guy's fishing trip. All right. And so we get out 50 miles out and I get to where you can't see any land. And what was that? Yeah. You ever just get the faintest thought of, am I getting sick? And then you're in denial. Then you say, no, that's not it. And then it's just a little bit stronger. Oh my. And I thought, oh no. Okay. There's something I'm supposed to focus on. All right. I was either the horizon or the ship. And I thought, okay, you're not supposed to focus on the horizon. Well, guess what? You're supposed to focus on the horizon. I focused on the floor of the ship. So I'm sitting there focusing on the ship, and I'm getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I cannot tell. These people are being tossed to and fro in this storm. If you'd have walked up to me, all it would have taken, I mean, I was at the tipping point. All it had said is, would you like a bologna sandwich? And I can't promise that I would not have just tossed my cookies all over you. Man, Preston was in misery also. Yeah, you're going down with me, buddy. You're going down with me. Amen. He was, I didn't know. I saw him. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm okay. And so we're both in denial. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting here focusing on the floor because that's what I'm supposed to focus on, but it's not helping. And all of a sudden, Justin's over here, and he said, did you just throw up? And I looked around, and he's pulling himself over from the boat, all right? My first thought was, he even pukes quietly. This guy's just quiet in everything he does, but that's all it took, and that was it. And I'm running for the bathroom where it was at. I can't imagine a storm. I can't imagine a storm tossing to and fro, and here's this guy, and he's unwrapping the ho-hos, and he's opening up the Fritos and stuff like that, and say, hey, guys, you want something? And they're running to the... And he said this. He said, guys, don't worry. He said, an angel of God, whose I am, stood by me tonight. And he said, there's not going to be any loss of life. You know what he's talking about? He said, I just got something from God. You have no idea what a help you could be to someone if you just start getting a word from God. God, I'm tired of hearing the words you give to everybody else. I wish you'd give me some personally. I'm tired of hearing what you tell everybody else. I'm tired of hearing the comforts you give and giving the words to other people. I sure would love to have you give words to me. Can I please tell you something? It begins with a desire. The multitudes came. Why? They wanted to hear his words. I feel for these people. They've been with these 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. 3 days. 3 days. Did you hear it? 3 days in the wilderness. Did you hear me? 3 days in the wilderness. Why? Because they wanted to hear something from him. How bad have you ever wanted to hear God give you something? I don't think he gives it to the casual interest. I think it's those that would dig for it as hid treasure and search for it as silver and gold. That's what I think. You know, I saw the personal word, but I also saw the words of hope and comfort. The psalmist says, "Thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort." Well, for some, the comfort is vacation. For some, it's a drink to knock the edge off. For some, it's medical science. For some, it's a vaccine. And by the way, that is not an attempt to make you feel bad if you want to go get the vaccine. It's America. If you want to get the vaccine, go get it. But I'm telling you something. A vaccine is not what I put my comfort in. And a vaccine is not what I put confidence in. I got to tell you, I praise God that since this thing started, I wasn't, when I said let's shut it down for a while when it first started, I wasn't scared of it then. It could have been serious. I mean, I wouldn't want to get it. But the fact is I was never fretful and worried and wringing my hands like I see people. I mean, they're saying, put two masks on, put three masks on. At some point, you're going to suffocate yourself. How absurd. I mean, if you really want to keep it out, put a plastic mask on. It won't get in then. That's the absurdity of all. And you know why it is? It's because they have no peace and they have no comfort, and there is someone else that is. I'm glad that my life isn't per chance. I'm glad my life isn't a mishap. I'm glad there's one in heaven and he sees his child and he moves this way and that way. And sometimes he moves me in the trial, but it's him that moves me into it. And sometimes he moves me out of it. And I have the utmost confidence tonight that my God has everything in control in my life. My comfort. It's my comfort. I thought about over there, and I've said, I preached on it several years ago, as a matter of fact. I haven't preached out of Esther, in, I don't think, in a long time. Mordecai is over there, and he gets his whole nation in trouble, doesn't he? He won't bow down to Haman, and Haman's all mad, and Haman works it out to where he gets a chance. He's going to build the gallows. And that night, it's chapter 5, I believe it is, that night the gallows are hanging there, and the next day he's going to hang. And he goes to bed. Haman knows the next day I'm going to get my wish. I'm going to kill that Jew. He's going to hang from the gallows. And Mordecai goes to bed, and that's the last thing he knows. He goes to bed, and he sees no hope. The king's on his side. The king's giving his permission to do this. He's built these gallows. I have no recourse. What's my recourse? And he goes to bed, say, tomorrow's my last day on this earth. You know what chapter 6 says? But the king couldn't sleep that night. You see, what he didn't know is that God was in the king's bedroom. And God just wouldn't let the king sleep. And so the king decided he needed to read something to put him to sleep. And they brought him the history books. And as he read the history books, he read of a guy named Mordecai who spoiled the threat of two people that sought the king's life. And the king said, this Mordecai, what's been done to this guy to honor him? He saved my life. Now Mordecai is tossing and turning because he doesn't still doesn't know. See, here's the thing. The certainty of despair you go to bed with in chapter 5, what you don't realize is the invisible God is busy in chapter 6 working on your behalf. And that's my comfort. That's my comfort. Someone asked me not long ago, so what if I'm working and they make me take the vaccine for work? And I said, I don't know. And he said, I guess what I have to do is take it and just trust God. I said, you can trust him. Amen. If God would look at Israel and say, there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper, do you think he can take care of you? I mean, if you have to take it. I mean, there's people that do not want to. The idea that everybody wants to take this vaccine is so ludicrous to me, it's not funny. That's why they spend millions of dollars in marketing schemes, right? That's why, you know why that our dear beloved governor offers $1 million lottery to people who take the vaccine? It's because everybody wants it. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know why he's offering to send a kid to school 4 years, full boat ride to college? Because everybody wants it. You know, they don't want to, do they think we're stupid? Yes. Do we think they're stupid? Let's go to the next passage. Let's go. Amen. You'll never convince me. You'll never. I think there's about 100 million people. Fine, if you want to take it, that's fine. But the problem is nobody wants to take it. You say, why? Because, well, we won't go there. We've had enough COVID updates from the pulpit. Let's talk about his word of comfort. Amen. That's what I comforted. Listen, thank God for this. I just thank the Lord for this. You know what? I've been a pretty healthy guy all my life. Now, I could go south today. I know that. I'm not saying it's not me. It's good night, it's not me. It's not like I've necessarily eaten right. But then again, what is right? Right? Yeah, don't you think that? Honestly, I mean, someone said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be the guy that determines exactly how much is too much cholesterol. That's what I want that job, all right? How much is too much butter? Speaking of butter, so help me. You know what? We need 3 cows just to take care of the butter that we have. Listen, if the Lord eat butter and it's okay for him, it's okay for me. Amen. He ate butter and honey. I think butter and honey is good. And you can't have butter and honey without a biscuit. That's not in your Bible, I know. It's just my thinking. Amen. It's not like I've eaten really well or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I've tried to exercise some, but I can't say that I've kept myself in shape and because of, you know, my diligence and stuff like that. You say, what is it? It's the God of heaven that's taking care of me. If Job would say this, I've esteemed thy word above my necessary food. He said this over in Deuteronomy. He said, he put you out in the wilderness and he fed you with manna. You know what manna means? Manna means what is it? You know what manna was? It was kind of like a bread, and they would grind it up and make a bread out of it. That was manna, okay? So let's say bread, right? Manna, bread. He took you to the wilderness, he put you out in the wilderness, and he fed you with bread that man should live, that they would learn that man does not live by bread alone. But wait a minute, that's what they were living by. You know what he was proving to them? I'll take care of you on a diet that won't take care of you. I'll take care of you a place that won't sustain you. You've seen the same things. Somebody sat down and tried to figure out with 2 to 3 million people how much water they'd need. They would need railroad cars of water. Where'd they get it? Their shoes didn't wax old for 40 years. We can't keep ours for 2. You know what that was? That was God saying, I'll take care of you. And somehow we have lost the idea that that God is our God. And that's where I take my comfort. I read over those stories. And I see that, and the Spirit of God says, see that? So I love you too. I'll take care of you. I sit back and look about our year, our married life, our years together, and God's taking care of us. God's taking good care of us. I'm supposed to go out this week and play racquetball. I could die of a heart attack. I know that. But I tell you, every time I do, and I go out, and I play hard. I do. I like to play hard. Not quite as hard as Phil. He likes to hit people. I'm not kidding. He hit me in the head with a racket. Hit me in the head with a racket. Did you not hear that? In the head with a racket. Say amen, brother. You know it's true. Confess. Amen. Come to the altar right now. Amen. Yeah, that's right. But the fact is I get done. I'll go out. I'm drenched. And somewhere on the way home, I'll bow my head and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm 62 and I can still do that. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to have that health. Oh, I got aches and pains and stuff like that. I just, honestly, my code is go to the doctor as seldom as you can. That's what my code is. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you need a doctor. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that. You know, I did. Everybody likes statistics, right? I'll give you a statistic. 100% of the people go to the doctor, they die. Now, you can't deny it. There's a statistic, all right? Fact is I got something going wrong with my toe a couple years ago. We were still playing a couple years ago, and it was kind of a knot raising up on it, and I was walking around, and it hurt. So what'd you do? I made it hurt. I played more on it. And eventually got to the place where it was limber, but it popped every time I walked. You know, I go, pop, pop. It just popped. Now it's the place where it don't pop anymore. Amen. So what'd you do? I fixed it. I had this thing in my eye. I'll get back to the message in a second. I had this thing in my eye. It's coming like a rash or something like that. Had one of the kids said, Dad, you got to go to the doctor. I said, well, I'd find some salve or something. What I do is I go to the medicine cabinet. I look for the stuff that we got that we didn't use. That's what I do. And then I'll rub. I'm not kidding you. I'm not lying. I do. I find it's a white cream. It's got to do something. So I rub it on there. All right. Listen, I come, my dad was the worst in the world. He said he thought Vicks Salve would fix everything. If you had a sore throat, I'm not kidding. He said, just take a finger and just put some in your mouth and swallow it. It'll fix it. I'm not kidding. No wonder the guy died at 92. Isn't that right? Man, he might live to be 100 had been eating Vicks Salve. Good night. But he was that way. That's what he'd do, all that kind of stuff. And what I'd do is I'd put cream up there and I'd try to, and it wouldn't go away. And so finally I thought, well, I'll just go to the doctor. So I went down to the doctor. I walk in, I said, he looked at me, he said, he says, probably some kind of allergy. I said, probably? I paid you for probably? I can do probably at my house. So go ahead and spend your money to let them guess. You can guess yourself, and it's far more fun. Amen. Where was I at? I will tell you this. You spend time in this book, and you'll begin to trust the God of this book with things. Now, preacher, listen, you're going to fall apart. I might. I told you this morning, no one gets out of that appointment, folks. Either late or early, we're all going to get to that appointment, yes? And I don't know. Listen, I can't explain all the things that God allows to happen. I know there was a man years ago, he allowed to be born blind for the glory of God. I pray God, whatever transpires in my life, I pray you get the glory out of it. Because that's what we're here for. But until we have gotten so wrapped up in trying to take care of this. There was a guy I used to know, and they had this exercise, this bodybuilding contest down. I'm not kidding, true story. Several years ago on Fountain Square, and they're doing this, you know, that kind of stuff all over, you know, and that stuff's disgusting, isn't it? Honest to goodness. I mean, you know, they're trying to show off all the muscles, and therefore they have to have the least amount of clothes on, and you're going, oh, like that, you know. There's a few things you wish you would hope to get through life and never see. You know, that's going to stick right there. That one's, you know. And they were preaching down there. They're preaching down there on Fountain Square. So help me, the guy got up. Do you remember Roy? Roy got up and he said, you see that over there, folks? He's preaching on the street. You see that over there? Worm dirt. That's where that is. That's worm dirt. Yeah. Amen. And he's right. Listen, dust you were, dust you're going to be. That's the way it is it not? And we just pamper this stuff and take care of this stuff and so on. And I'm not saying be careless. I'm saying trust God. Let Him be your comfort. I mean, God gave you sensibility too. I had a problem several years ago here. I was about 49 years old, and I thought it was some kind of intestinal problem. And I went to the doctor. I know when to go to the doctor. And I got to say that because someone will go to church. I never go to the doctor. I'm not saying that. And I went to a great doctor. I had to find one. Normally I have to find one when I go because I don't have one. I don't have one right now. But this guy, I went to see him and he was down here. And he said, well, we're going to get you to an intestinalist or whatever like that and so on. They were going to schedule a colonoscopy. And that was an experience. Amen. Yeah. I've had one in my life, and I pray I finish it off like that. Amen. But I was down there, and he said, until we get this guy, he said, I want you to eat low-residue foods. And I said, what's low-residue foods? He said, like donuts. And I thought, oh, this guy, man. Now, that's a doctor right there, okay? That's a doc. I don't know where he went to school. We need more of him, though. I'll tell you that. Can I ask you a question? Now, we joke about it, and we laugh a little bit. And we probably need a little bit of laughter today. But can I tell you something? The point is still serious. He said, you've made your word to be my hope and my comfort. You have no idea what you can go through if you can just get a word from God. You have no idea what troubles you that'll kind of wash away like the rain if you just got a word from God. Can you trust in Him? Can I tell you? You know what those children of Israel in the wilderness, you know what the problem was? You know what the concern? You know what God was trying to do? He said, I'm trying to get you to see you can trust me. You know why they didn't go into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea? Because they didn't believe Him. Unbelief. And you know what our problem is? Well, we believed Him for our souls. It's our daily food we can't trust Him with. Or it's the car working right or getting fixed. Or it's the bill being paid. Those big things. Nothing like a soul. You see my point. You know how you learn trusting? There's this thing where I'm going to trust God more. That's will. I'm going to trust God more. No, you learn to trust God more when you get in His Word, and His Word works faith in you, and you can trust Him more because He works it in you. You can't trust Him outside of that Word. You got to get in that Word, and that Word becomes personal. You can trust Him. Amen. I find those the words of hope. Words of hope. You give me a word from the Creator, whose words are life and whose words are power. John 6, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit. They're not of this world. They're not bound by the rules of physics, neither can be explained thereby. The words of God are so far beyond the physical. Man, when you get something from God, they raise us above the meek and the beggarly elements, above the circumstances. That's what the word of God, the word in which you've caused me to hope, thy word to me, in which has become my hope and my comfort. I'm not sure if the words bring me to the very presence and the power of God, or if it's that I've been raised up to sense, if it were the heavenly places of Christ. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I know this. When that's worked in my heart, when that word comes to me, there's a confidence that can't be quenched. There's a comfort that can't be troubled. There's a peace when His word becomes personal. When His word becomes personal. And then look in verse 54. There's a lot more, but I'm going to give you this, and we're going to be done. Verse 54. He said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. His words were comfort and hope, those personal words, but they also became the words of his song. I wonder if his words became the words of my song. I wonder if maybe I wouldn't gripe so much. I wonder if the words became the words of His words became the words of my songs. I wonder if I would have a better disposition sometimes. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Obviously, it knew nothing of the coming COVID crisis. Because that seems all I've done. All I've done is griped about the governor, and all I've done is gripe about the Marxist socialist attempt to... That's all I've done. That's all many Christians have done. All many have done. Somehow or another, we think, I guess, and I don't like the mask any more than you like them, but somehow we think that mask in some store somewhere or down the street somewhere can mask the words, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. And I suspect behind the mask that somehow that countenance would grow. That countenance would have a beaming smile on it. You say, why? Because his words are my song. I mean, come on. Didn't anybody here get acidic during COVID? Didn't we get kind of bitey during COVID? We sure did. We sure did. And I'm not going back. I think the whole thing's... But it got to the place where it's just all we talked about. It's all we talked about. It's all we talked about. Somehow I think the Lord was saying, you know what you need? You need a word from me. If you just open your heart for a personal word, you'd find yourself singing. Well, Lord, we got to wear a mask down here. Well, Paul and Silas just had their backs beaten. They were cast into the inner prison, and somehow they found a song. In my adversity, in my affliction. It's my heart's desire that God would teach me. And I say it fearfully because I don't think I want the lessons. Does anybody understand that? I want God to teach me, but I'm scared because I don't really want the lessons. Because sometimes the lessons can be painful and they be hard. And I don't go through the test as well as I would like. But I sure would like to be able to weather stuff and still have a song. And still have him mean more to me than the mask. Him still be the praise of my lips than the griping about them, their COVID and the this, and they're trying the vaccine and all that. Would you not agree? Somewhere we got off course. Where we got off course was, is God, I think I could handle it all with a joyful spirit if I could just get a personal word. I got something to read. It's about David. It says, once while singing his, David, his lungs out to God, angels, sheep, and passing clouds, he spied a living enemy, a huge bear. He lunged forward, both found themselves moving furiously toward the same small object, a lamb feeding at a table of rich green grass. Youth and bear stopped halfway, whirled to face one another. Even as he instinctively reached into his pocket for a stone, the young man realized, why, I'm not afraid. Meanwhile, brown lightning on mighty furry legs charged at the shepherd with foaming madness. Impelled by the strength of youth, a young man married rock to leather, and soon a brook's smooth pebble whined through the air to meet that charge. A few moments later, the man, not quite so young as a moment before, picked up the little lamb and said, "I am your shepherd, and God is mine." And so long into the night, he wove that day's saga into a song and hurled that hymn to the skies again and again until he had taught the melody and every word to every angel that had ears. They, in turn, became custodians of this wondrous song and passed it on as healing balm to brokenhearted men and women in every age to come. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I could see that coming from an episode. That episode obviously was just made up by the guy, but I could see it. And I wondered to myself, how many songs have been born out of my adversity? Songs that would be sung by others generations. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And Horatio Spafford had no idea that as he wrote those words out of a broken heart, losing his children, what God did for him and taught him in that adversity would become a balm of a song that people would sing in their own adversities. But I wonder how many songs would be born out of ours if we could just get a personal word from the Lord. I want to challenge you tonight to be more than a Bible reader. I want to challenge you to take your Bible and say, God, I will read your words. I want to understand your words. But God, I long for you to take one. And get. I'm tired of me making it personal. Does anyone understand that? We can sit down and say, now, what does that mean to me? You ever been in one of those Bible studies or one of those devotionals? Or, okay, here's the verse. Now, what does that mean to you? And say, well, I read this and I think this and there's still something lacking. Because it's just all of us giving our ideas. God, I don't really want to do that. I'd like to have a circumstance where the Spirit of God reaches into my writing or reading or reaches into a previous reading and pulls it out. And he takes that salve and he wipes it on. And he gives consolation just for me. Just for me. My wife got this salve. I don't know what it's called. It's some kind of a salve. It's supposed you're supposed to be able to rub it on your head and your brow and it's supposed to take tension away. Something or other like that. And gave it to a few people and they rubbed on and said, wow, this is great. And she gave it to me and I rubbed it on. She said, how is it? I said, well, it's kind of cold. And I think I need to rub more on. Like the whole jar, just lather it all over that. And I don't know. I can't speak for that, but I do know this. I do know that's what that word is. That word's a balm. I love to read about how God protected Israel. I love to read about how he consoled his brokenhearted prophet. I love to read about how Christ looked at the masses and had compassion. Those are all neat stories. But they none match when I'm in the Word and he says, son, look at this. When he gives me a personal word. You know what that is? That's your weapon. I challenge you to go home and start asking God. Say, God, I'm not going to try to force it to happen. I'm going to read like I've always read. I'm going to read your Bible. I'm going to understand it. If I don't, I'm going to back up and read it again. I'm going to slow down and try to read the words. Lord, show me something. Give me something. It thrilled my heart, actually, when Sonia read that. Because in a very hard time, his daughter read a passage and said, that's where I'm at, Lord. And the Lord said, I know. Let's bow our heads, please.